I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play.
Welcome to the weekly podcast, History Speaks, from the Montour County Historical Society. My name is Terry Diener, a member of the board of directors and your host for the podcast. Looking for a Christmas gift for the history lover in your family? Well, a membership to the Society helps support our past and share the story of Montour County. It would be ideal. Dues are only $20 for each individual, $30 for a family living under one roof. Quarterly newsletters are sent out with photos, stories, and tidbits of local history. Please send dues with an address or an email address if you want to receive your newsletter in email to MCHS, Post Office Box 8, Danville, Pennsylvania, 17821. During the 150th anniversary observance of the Civil War, I had the opportunity to write a weekly newspaper column relating some of the stories of local men who were involved. My podcast today includes part of an article written in December of 2012. The Civil War had now dragged on for more than a year and a half, and some soldiers found themselves spending a second Christmas away from family and friends. National Park Service guide Susan Boardman of Gettysburg, a Danville native, shared this information, which we use with her permission. 1862 brought forth the war's impact full force with battles at Shiloh, Manassas, and Antietam, and campaigns in the Shenandoah Valley and the peninsula. Many Fredericksburg, Virginia citizens were homeless or fled their town just prior to Christmas. Thomas Nast's earliest published picture of Santa Claus appeared in the January 3, 1863 edition of Harper's Weekly, showing Santa Claus visiting a Civil War camp. In the background, a sign can be seen that reads, "Welcome, Santa Claus." The illustration shows Santa handing out gifts to children and soldiers. He's pictured sitting on a sleigh, which is being pulled by reindeer. In the illustration, Santa has a long white beard, a furry hat, collar, and belt. The gift he is holding, a puppet on a string, bears the likeness of Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy. The political overtones are classic Thomas Nast. In my research, I was able to find some local soldiers' thoughts from Christmas of 1862. From the diary of Private Frederick Lawbaugh of Company H, 93rd Pennsylvania Regiment, known as the Baldy Guards from Montour County. December 25th, 1862 entry reads, "This day, as anticipated, passed dully enough in camp. Instead of the good old dinners I used to enjoy at home, I put up with a cup of boiled beans and some fritters here in the army along the Rappahannock. I live in high hopes that these difficulties will all be settled before another Christmas, and that I may be able to enjoy it with the dear ones at home." Home, it is said that the absence makes the heart grow fonder, and how true it is. Drew rations. Among them was onions and potatoes. From the diary of Charles C. McCormick of Milton, Northumberland County, McCormick was a member of the 7th Cavalry, 80th Pennsylvania Regiment. He went on to command the regiment and was breveted a brigadier general. There were quite a number of men from Montour County in Pennsylvania's 7th Cavalry. Thursday, December 25th, 1862, Christmas. Had orders to march this morning at daylight with 3 days' rations in haversacks and 8 days in the wagons. Was ready, but the order was countermanded. I prepared for a feast expecting Bob, who was his brother. We had a Merry Christmas, Quartermaster Rickert, Captain Hibbler, Lieutenant Field, Lieutenant McGee, Lieutenant Mooney. Oysters and partridge for dinner. Will we ever spend another Christmas together? Doubtful. Some of us are doomed. Orders to march at day tomorrow. Christmas Eve 1862 found Union Brigadier General John Geary in Fairfax Station, Virginia, nearing the end of his convalescence from a wound he had received at Cedar Mountain in August. He took some time to offer a holiday and fatherly advice to his daughter at home in Pennsylvania. "My dear little pet, on this Christmas Eve I have no doubt that you have been enjoying yourself, perhaps with the toys of the season, eaten your nuts and cakes, hung up your stockings in the chimney corner for old Kris Kringle, when he comes along with his tiny horses Dunder and Blixen, and his little wagon to fill in lots of gobs of sweet things, sugar, candy, sugar plums, and, if you please, sugar everything. Well, when I was a little boy a good many years ago, I was fond of such things myself. And when I look back, they were indeed the happiest days of my life. Enjoy them, my little pet. They come but once. The boys, I mean the two Willies, are getting too old for the enjoyment you can have. When ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise. I wish you a Merry Christmas, and many of them. I must close. There is a lot of soldiers at my door giving me a serenade, and I must give it some attention. Your affectionate Papa. John White Geary became the 16th governor of Pennsylvania. One final story today related to the Civil War and Christmas. I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day is a Christmas carol based on the 1863 poem Christmas Bells by American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. The song tells of the narrator's despair upon hearing Christmas bells, that hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. The carol concludes with the bells carrying renewed hope for peace among mankind. During the American Civil War, Longfellow's oldest son, Charles Appleton Longfellow, joined the Union cause as a soldier without his father's blessing. Longfellow was informed by a letter dated March 4, 1863, after Charles had left. "I have tried hard to resist the temptation of going without your leave, but I cannot any longer," he wrote. "I feel it is my first duty to do what I can for my country, and I would willingly lay down my life for it if it would be of any good." Charles soon got an appointment as a lieutenant, but in November he was severely wounded in the Battle of New Hope Church in Virginia during the Mine Run campaign. Coupled with the recent loss of his wife, Frances, who died as a result of an accidental fire, Longfellow was inspired to write Christmas Bells. He wrote the poem on Christmas Day in 1863. Christmas Bells was first published in February 1865 in Our Young Folks, a juvenile magazine published by Tickner and Fields. That's a wrap of History Speaks from the Montour County Historical Society. All of the podcasts can be heard through a link on the Historical Society's homepage. Click on Podcast in the upper right corner of the page. You will find a listing of the podcasts. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll listen again next week.
The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men.